Welcome to Limitless, the Blind Beginnings podcast where seeing things differently inspires limitless possibilities. The Limitless podcast was created in order to inform, educate, entertain, and share stories from within the blind and partially sighted community that show that the opportunities for those who are blind or partially sighted are truly limitless. And now, it is my pleasure to introduce you to your host, the founder of Blind Beginnings, Sean Marcellet.
Welcome back to Limitless, the Blind Beginnings podcast. I'm your host, Sean Marcellet. Thank you so much for joining us again this week. Today, we're talking about AI, artificial intelligence, from the blind perspective. So how is AI impacting those of us who are blind? And I think it's going to be a very interesting conversation. So we've got Clement, Nolan, and Jagad. Welcome.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello. And we've also got Rob joining us from the other side of the editing world.
Yay.
Welcome, Rob.
You're always behind the mic, so it's nice to hear your voice finally, Rob.
Well, thank you. It's lovely to be here.
Okay. So there's a reason we have Rob, which we will reveal shortly. So Clement, Nolan, and Jagad, you guys are all pretty much totally blind, correct?
Yeah.
Exactly, totally blind.
Mike, I have a little bit of light perception, but that's about it.
Okay.
I've had vision in the past. I have had sight
okay.
before.
Yes. Okay. Me too. A little bit, but I'm just pointing that out for sort of like how AI might be helpful to us versus somebody with low vision. But basically, we are all very, very low to no vision. So I think that's relevant. Let's talk about how we're using AI. Do you guys use it at all? There's some cool apps that I definitely have been using, but I'll let you answer first.
Sure. So for using AI, I use it for a lot of purposes, and some of them are purely based on entertainment, but a few of them are more so related to workplace and school activities. To give a few examples, there are those common apps that are known for the vision community, such as Seeing AI and Be My Eyes, for recognizing texts or colors and such things. Then there are other more newer discoveries. Well, we've got ChatGPT, which I do use for a lot of leisure purposes.
Nolan, are there other ways that you're using AI?
For like ChatGPT and stuff, we discovered a way to like upload images. So you can upload, say, a screenshot or an image or like a photo or something, and it will actually describe what's in the photo to you in as much detail as you need.
Yeah, that's really cool. What about you, Clement?
Well, I use Be My Eyes and Seeing AI on a regular basis, especially during the last 3 weeks while traveling. It was very interesting to kind of just poke around with it, experiment, and see what I could find. And there's other apps as well, but you know, mostly it's those two, or Envision AI on Android, which is kind of its more unique version of Seeing AI. And fun fact, of course, this will come up later, is the fact that Be My AI feature actually uses the same software that powers ChatGPT. So essentially, when you're using Be My AI, you are using ChatGPT.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good
so,
to know.
Yeah. And other than that, I use ChatGPT mostly for productivity, for food ideas or for recipe ideas. If I'm thinking about something and wondering what goes well with it, sometimes I'll use ChatGPT. Or if I'm preparing for things like translating church sermons and stuff like that, sometimes I'll get it to flush out a Japanese word that I'm not as familiar with and things like that if I have to.
Wow. Okay. So let's explain. Seeing AI is an app that I think it came out 2 years ago, maybe? I'm not sure. Where I thought my world had changed. So it was basically able to read text, even like printed, like not necessarily type text, like actual. I used it to read an invitation that my a birthday invite that my kid got from school. I used it to find things in the fridge, like what is this can, you know, is it Coke? Is it Sprite? Is it something else? I've used it. It's got like a color indicator. I don't know. It had all these features. So basically it was like using the camera of the phone and it would tell you what you were looking at, which was really phenomenal. Now recently Be My Eyes has been around for a while, and that's the one where, yeah, Be My Eyes, where it would connect to a volunteer and then you could ask the volunteer questions, sighted volunteers, and you could ask them questions about what they were viewing through your camera, which I kind of felt a little bit odd doing. So I never used it, but now you're asking AI, you're asking, I don't know, Google. I don't know. I don't know who you're asking. Who are you asking? I don't even know.
You're asking ChatGPT.
ChatGPT.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, you can get something described to you, or I've used it. I used it on the SkyTrain platform to see if I could figure out which train was the next train coming into the station. I didn't know where the display was, so I just sort of took a chance. I've used it to try to figure out, is there a set of stairs down from this platform?
Did that work, Sean?
No, the stairs down did not work, but the train information did. Manage to get something. I also used it at a bus loop. I was waiting for a friend to pick me up and I wasn't sure which direction to go, like where the car sort of parking area might be. And I guessed based on, I took a photo in every direction and sort of I thought I figured it out. And when she got there, I kind of verified that yes, that would have been the direction I would have walked. So I don't know. It's pretty cool. I think it's pretty cool. What do you guys think?
I've used Be My AI before, and for me, it was used in a tech cafe once for CNIB. And basically this person was demonstrating how it's used. And this person decided to point the camera in a random direction. Somehow that random direction happened to just be me. And this feature manages to describe me exactly. Like, it was showing what colored clothes I'm wearing, what colored turban, how old it thinks, like young, middle-aged, old, which can be offending for a lot of people if you get it wrong, by the way. But it managed to describe me completely, my expression. So that was quite cool, the fact that it could do that without you having to connect to a volunteer. Because then you would have that risk of showing stuff to someone else. And there are other apps like Aira where you've got insurance, but it's paid compared to Be My Eyes.
So, right, yeah. Both of these apps are completely free, which is also great. And then there's the option with Be My AI that you can ask it a follow-up question. So I think that's pretty cool. You're basically texting a question to get more detail about whatever it is that you're looking at. So I've used it for menus, took a photo of the menu and then asked the question of, can you tell me more about this, a section, right? So it doesn't necessarily read the entire menu. It kind of gives you an overview and then you can say, okay, can you read the burgers? So it's pretty great. I think it's pretty great.
It is very cool. It's definitely a game changer, I think, especially for people who use something like Be My Eyes very often. It is super helpful not to have to wait for someone to pick up, at least for basic things. Of course, the issue is with AI, sometimes if you take a bad picture or if the lighting is bad, it does hallucinate. So I have had people who have had their medication misread because AI thought it was doing something. Nothing life-threatening resulted, but, you know, because these people are smart and verified things, but just, you know, kind of they were pointing out the fact that, yes, as good as it is, it's still only machines, and it's machines that are, it's a new kind of tech. And so people have had things like that happen. So people get sometimes medication misread. I've heard people who've gotten cooking ingredients mistaken. So these things do happen. But for the most part, it is a fantastic tool, and it's super cool to just play around with even.
Does the AI, like, does it have an option to talk to a real person now, or is it entirely AI powered?
It does be have my the eyes. Option still.
Oh yeah, you can still talk to a human. Rob, you've been using AI to describe photos, like to provide alt text, right?
Yeah, that's right. Which is very good. And actually, I found that I actually installed Be My Eyes on my phone, and I've been using that, taking a picture of a picture to see how it describes it. And yeah, it's phenomenal. The amount of detail that it describes. I mean, I think that, you know, a lot of times the mistakes that AI does tend to make, you know, AI lacks that ability that humans do to say, you know what, I'm not sure. A lot of times you'll find when ChatGPT makes mistakes, it's because it doesn't say, I don't know, it just guesses. And that's where you run into problems.
Yes. So that kind of is a nice segue into what we thought it would be fun to do, which was find out if ChatGPT is going to be able to take over my job. Not exactly, but can people, not the podcast, just educating about blindness. So can people type in questions about blindness and get an accurate response? Can, you know, sighted folks learn about the blind community using ChatGPT? And one thing I noticed, because we kind of tested out a bunch of questions, was there is no hesitation in its responses. It is matter of fact, this is it, right? And there were a few mistakes that I caught here and there. And it's just the way it's written is so like absolute, like absolutely this is what it is. Like it's really interesting. So we thought that we would ask it a couple of questions, and Rob's gonna read us the answers. And then we'll just see, I thought we could sort of see what AI says and then discuss what we would actually say and whether it was accurate or not. And, you know, if not, where it wasn't. So the first question is, how do blind people dress themselves? Rob, what did AI say?
Well, ChatGPT said, blind people often develop strategies and techniques to help them dress independently. Here are some common methods. Number one, organization. Many blind individuals organize their clothes in a consistent manner. They may use specific drawers or sections of their closet for different types of clothing and arrange items in a way that they can easily locate them by touch. Number two, identifying clothing. Braille labels or tactile markers can be attached to clothing items to indicate color, pattern, or other distinguishing features. Some individuals may use safety pins or small clips to differentiate between similar items. Number three, using technology. There are several technological aids available to assist blind individuals with dressing. For example, there are devices that can identify colors through voice input or tactile feedback. Some mobile apps also provide assistance with matching clothing items or identifying colors using the device's camera. Number four, learning techniques. Blind individuals often learn specific techniques for identifying clothing by touch. For example, they may use their hands to feel the texture, weight, or shape of garments to determine what they are. They may also use folding methods or other tactile cues to distinguish between different types of clothing. Number five, assistance from others. In some cases, blind individuals may seek assistance from family members, friends, or caregivers, especially for tasks that are particularly challenging or require fine motor skills. Overall, blind individuals develop a variety of strategies and techniques to dress themselves independently, allowing them to maintain their autonomy and dignity in daily activities.
Oh, okay. I have some complaints. That just makes it sound like when things are challenging, we have to get somebody to help dress us, which I have not ever had to do that. And I don't know of apps that are tactile or voice. Like there's color indicator apps that I'm aware of that will tell you what color something is, but nothing that says this matches with that, and nothing that has any kind of tactile input.
Suppose you could use the AI for that, though.
Yes, you could ask if these two garments match, but and even the using your sense of touch, like I do use my sense of touch, but it's not about the shape necessarily. Like, you know, sort of material feels different, and maybe there's like something on the shirt that you can feel, so you remember what shirt it is. So some of the stuff was accurate, but what do you guys think? Do you use any of those methods?
I personally feel like the first one about organization was actually very good, but this is what I personally do. Like, I never use Braille labels on my clothes to determine what color they are or whatever.
I don't either.
Color doesn't entirely matter in this case to me, but if you want to look fashionable, then I suggest maybe you consult with a sighted person to ask what matches. Not, I wouldn't go as far as saying having them help dress you.
Right.
I do care about the colors that I do wear, mostly because, you know, I care about the kind of clothes that I have, the kind of appearance that that gives, the kind of look that it makes. So I do care about colors, but I do not use Braille labels. The way I distinguish between clothes is, one, you can tell by the signs on the clothes a lot of the time, like brands and such. Then the material of the clothes. And it's not even the fact that you're touching individual clothes to see the minute differences. It is quite evident when you're touching a shirt compared to a t-shirt, or even two different t-shirts, what kind they are, because you can always seem to find differences between those two clothes and such. And yes, since I do care about color, matching is another part of it. And that's why organizing and just researching into fashion and all those things can be really beneficial. But I do not use Braille labels.
So the first method is definitely what I do. I tend to organize things based on where I put them. That's how I identify my clothes. I find this is the thing that I have issue with when it comes to asking ChatGPT these kinds of questions. ChatGPT will summarize every single answer that it can possibly find on the internet. And that includes, and like Rob said earlier, because it doesn't know how to separate good stuff from bad stuff, you're going to get a lot of junk in with the helpful stuff. The last technique of asking someone to help dress you if necessary, yeah. I can think of maybe one instance where I've had to do that.
Maybe like tying a tie or something.
Yeah, but here's the fun fact. Sighted people have people do their ties,
yes,
too.
Yes, exactly.
I'm not a huge fan of that answer. There's definitely some helpful stuff in there, but I think it's more, you know, junk than jewels, per se.
Well, even the point about like having certain drawers for certain types of clothes, don't sighted people do that? I didn't think that was a blind thing. Like, wouldn't you put all of your shirts in one drawer and all your pants in one drawer and all your...
Yeah, that's... Sighted people do that as well. it makes it sound like it's some, like, super crazy technique that we figured out, when it's like, well, no, everybody organizes their clothes.
Maybe it's going off of the stereotype that blind people have to have everything in, you know, one place at all times, and that includes clothes.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, it does help. It does help to have your things organized and put things back where, you know, everything has a, I try to live that way. And I have, when I think about like folding Nicholas's clothes, like his pajamas, they all felt the same. So, you know, if there's a shirt and pants and they match, I'll sort of fold them together. But even the like folding things differently, that I don't do that with any of my own clothes. I don't fold it differently so that I'll know what it is. I agree with Jagad. You just know by how it feels. But anyways, we're like, let's move on because we got a few questions to get through. So basically, if we were going to give a AI a grade on this, what do we think? Like C?
C minus.
I would also go with a C minus.
Okay. Question number two. How do blind people cook? How do blind people cook, Rob?
Well, let's see what ChatGPT had to say. Blind people can cook independently by using various adaptive techniques, tools, and strategies. Here are some common methods they might employ. Number one, organizational systems. Blind individuals often organize their kitchen and ingredients in a consistent manner. They may use tactile labels, braille markers, or memory to identify different items. Organizing utensils, pots, and pans in specific locations helps them navigate the kitchen more easily. Number two, adaptive tools and appliances. Many kitchen tools and appliances are available with tactile or auditory cues to assist blind individuals. These include talking kitchen scales, tactile measuring cups and spoons, braille labels for oven dials and appliance settings, and appliances with large tactile buttons. Number three, safety precautions. Safety is paramount in the kitchen, especially for those with visual impairments. Blind individuals often use techniques such as using oven mitts or pot holders with specific textures to differentiate between hot and cold surfaces. What?
What?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Sorry.
Can we stop?
Sorry, did it say different textures to differentiate between hot and cold?
Yeah.
Surfaces? That's completely wrong. Pot holders with specific textures to differentiate between hot and cold. Why would you need a pot holder for a
Yeah.
Don't use that. That's the cold surface pot holder.
Hilarious.
Oh dear.
Okay. Hilariously bad.
Hilariously, yeah.
Bad.
Moving on. Number four, preparation techniques. Blind individuals may use techniques such as cutting and chopping by touch, using finger guards to protect against cuts. They may also employ pouring techniques, like running their fingers along the rim of a measuring cup to gauge liquid levels. Some individuals use adaptive cutting boards with guides to assist with slicing and dicing.
What?
Now, if that actually exists...
Does it?
I've
never heard of a guide for a cutting board.
A cutting board with a guide?
There's a slight problem with the phrase cutting by touch, though.
Yes, you're right. Number five, recipes and cooking methods. Many blind cooks rely on recipes in accessible formats, such as braille, large print, or digital formats compatible with screen readers. They may also use cooking methods that rely more on tactile and auditory cues, such as simmering or boiling until they hear a specific sound or smell a certain aroma. Training and support. Some blind individuals may receive training in cooking skills through rehabilitation programs or independent living centers. Peer support groups or online communities may also provide tips, advice, and encouragement for blind individuals learning to cook.
Yeah, there's definitely some mistakes. It's funny when you started at all the organizational stuff again, I'm like, don't sighted people put all the utensils in the same place and all their pots in the same place? And, you know, like we're not organizing our kitchens any differently than anybody else. It does help to have things organized as it does for anybody. And feeling your finger around the rim of a measuring cup to figure out how much liquid is hilarious. Like we will use our finger to touch inside the measuring cup to see if it's at the top or if it, you know, how far down things are, but we're not like running our finger around the edge of the, I don't know. There's just a few things that I think are quite hilarious.
Oh, there's more than a few things in here, Sean. I do cook on a regular basis. And again, there are generic facts here that are help. Like 2 and 5 are basically the same thing. When it says tactile and audio cues. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
And part of what it does not mention when it says, you know, labels for appliances and settings and things with buttons is it neglects to mention that touch screens are a thing now, and a lot of appliances have built-in screen readers to the touch screens. So,
yeah, it also doesn't talk about labeling cans in your cupboards and packaging, things like that, or even using time. you know, like I will, and like it's talking about using like listening to simmering and boiling, but you can also use a timer for how long something has been in the oven. There, like there's so many techniques.
Which again, tricks. Sighted people do as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's a lot, again, same thing, at least for me, this is very similar to the last one, where there's some good stuff in here that is kind of generally helpful, but nothing that really zooms in on any level that I would consider actually beneficial.
Right. Okay, so what's our rating on this one? I would give this a C again. Solid C.
This one's got like a 4 out of 10 for me, honestly.
4 out of 10. Okay.
Yeah.
40%. That might even be a D.
Yeah.
What do you think, Clement?
That's an F though.
I'd agree with you, Sean, here. It's somewhere, if I had to letter grade it, it would be somewhere between a C and a C minus, for sure.
Okay. And Jagad?
I would put it at a C, between a C and a B, like a C plus.
Okay. Hi there, listeners. I just wanted to interrupt to tell you how much we appreciate you, but we really want to get our message out there to as many people as possible. So if you are enjoying this podcast, please help us by sharing, liking, subscribing, leave us a rating. And we are so grateful to you for listening each week. And now back to this episode. We had a question about how blind people play sports. And the one thing that I just was so offended by was the way they described swimming. So maybe, Rob, can you just read that one, that point?
Okay, let's go right to the swimming, though, because this is where it gets good. Swimming. Blind individuals can participate in swimming with the assistance of guides or tether systems. Guides may swim alongside or in front of the athlete to provide auditory cues and ensure safety. Tether systems involve a rope or elastic cord connecting the swimmer to a guide on the pool deck.
No.
Wow.
Wow.
That is not at all.
That is not how paraswimming works. But yeah.
No, it's really funny. So in blind triathlon, sometimes you and your guide are tethered together. That can be a thing, but it's just you're both in the water together at the same time, so you don't lose each other in the horde of other bodies. But normally swimming is a tapper. Somebody, a human, stands on the pool deck and they've got this pole with a styrofoam ball in the end, and they hit you on the head or the shoulder as you approach so you can do your flip turn or you know you're coming to the wall. But aside from that, there is nobody. And even the having a guide swim in front of you and call to you, like when your head's underwater, you can't hear. So like that wouldn't even work. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm confused about the auditory cues. Like what exactly does it mean with auditory cues when you're under the water?
Yeah.
Because all you can really hear is splashing. And unless there's some kind of splashing code that exists in swimming.
No, there is not.
I'm not aware of.
Yeah, this one gets a big fat F from me. I was so offended. I was just like, that is hilarious.
I would agree with the F.
I would give it a C minus.
You're too nice to the AI. No,
Jagad is. We can see which out of the four of us is much more lenient.
That's right.
AI.
We're grading on a curve here.
Yeah. And I just asked ChatGPT how a blind person could do Aikido as somebody who's done Aikido for 7 years, and the answer definitely gets an F from me too.
Okay. So. Interesting. Okay. So, kind of already talked about some of the implications of people getting the wrong information. And these were some of these answers I actually thought in my first read through that they were pretty good. Like I was sort of like, I get where Jagad's coming from, like, and I get that they're summarizing all of the, you know, if you think blindness is a spectrum and people who are blind have a spectrum of abilities too, and some people need more support and some people need less and all of that. But, I wondered if we were to get a little bit more subjective, what sort of responses we would get. So I'm wondering what ChatGPT says to the question, do blind people care what they look like?
Do blind people care what they look like? ChatGPT said, Blind people may have different perspectives on their physical appearance compared to sighted individuals, but it ultimately depends on individual preferences, experiences, and cultural factors. Here are some points to consider: personal preference, social influences, cultural norms, self-image, and practical considerations.
I don't even know what the last one means.
I can elaborate on that. Practical considerations. While appearance may not be the primary concern for some blind individuals, they may still pay attention to grooming and clothing choices for practical reasons, such as maintaining hygiene, fitting in socially, or making a positive impression in professional settings. Hygiene.
Okay.
Hygiene and appearance are like not the same thing.
Not
so
strictly connected, but yeah, okay. Wants like, to we're grasping at straws here, ChatGPT.
Okay. So I mean, that was kind of a non-answer. I feel like it depends is kind of what they're saying, which is the truth, right? I mean, some just like sighted people, I feel like some sighted people care a lot about their physical appearance and some care less. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's fair?
Yeah.
I would think it's fair. But I would say here's the thing that I've realized about AI is over the past year of using it, it's always going to end up saying it depends. I have asked it religious questions, I have asked it food questions, and the gist of it all the time is it'll cover its bases and then say, but this is just a guess and everyone is different.
Right. Okay.
So I don't find it to be all that helpful when it comes to questions like this, personally, but others may have a different opinion.
Okay. So I'm curious how it answered this next question. What is the hardest thing about being blind?
What is the hardest thing about being blind? ChatGPT said, the experience of blindness can vary greatly from person to person, and what one individual finds challenging may not be the same for another. However, some common difficulties faced by blind individuals include access to information. Blind individuals may face challenges in accessing printed materials, digital content, or visual information in their daily lives. While technologies such as screen readers and braille displays help bridge this gap, not all information is readily accessible in these formats. Mobility and navigation. Navigating unfamiliar environments independently can be challenging for blind individuals as they rely on alternative methods such as white canes, guide dogs, or orientation or mobility training. Lack of accessibility features such as tactile paving or audible signals further complicates navigation in public spaces. Social interaction. Blind individuals may encounter barriers in social situations, such as difficulty recognizing facial expressions, body language, or nonverbal cues. Communication barriers also arise if sighted individuals are unsure how to interact with blind individuals or accommodate their needs effectively. Employment opportunities. Blind individuals often face barriers in accessing employment opportunities due to misconceptions about their capabilities or inaccessible work environments. Lack of accommodations such as screen reader compatible software or accessible workspaces can further hinder employment prospects. Independence and autonomy. Maintaining independence in daily tasks such as cooking, cleaning, or managing finances can be challenging for blind individuals, particularly if they lack access to training, assistive technology, or support services. Stigma and discrimination. Blind individuals may encounter stigma, discrimination, or pity from others based on misconceptions about blindness. Negative attitudes and low expectations from society can undermine their confidence and hinder their integration into various aspects of life. Healthcare access. Blind individuals may face barriers in accessing healthcare services, including difficulties in reading medical information, communicating with healthcare providers, or navigating healthcare facilities independently. Emotional well-being. Coping with the emotional impact of blindness, such as the loss of independence, changes in identity, or feelings of isolation, can be challenging. Adjusting to a new way of life and seeking support to address emotional needs are essential for maintaining overall well-being. Despite these challenges, many blind individuals lead fulfilling lives, overcome obstacles, and contribute meaningfully to their communities. Supportive environments, accessible resources, and advocacy for inclusion can help mitigate the difficulties faced by blind individuals and promote their participation and equality in society.
In this answer, there were three things that I found that I didn't like. One was the comment about independence in terms of cooking, cleaning, and all that. Second was the comment about communication with healthcare. And I do understand that, you know, sometimes there are things like paper documents and such things. But then again, you can always use screen readers. You can find a digital version of it, or you can use AI itself. And in terms of the third comment, that would be the comment about emotional well-being. And while I do understand the fact that, you know, it can be hard for people who lost sight, it doesn't go over the fact that it almost makes it sound like the best you can hope for is to have a normal life.
Yeah, that's funny you said that. There was three that I would have sort of agreed with, and the rest I would not even factor as the, because the question is, what is the hardest thing about being blind? They just listed everything that could be hard about being blind. So they didn't really answer the question. But I feel like, you know, the social implications can be challenging. The stigma, sort of the perception of blindness is probably the one that is the greatest challenge in my mind. And then employment. I feel like those, that I would agree with. And the rest of it is just sort of like, I don't know, not the most challenging.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And again, this is AI covering all its bases and then saying all of these things are just some of them and there's probably more, but everybody's experience is different. So this isn't really an answer. So I don't know if anyone else picked up on it when it said the loss of independence, which assumes that it's coming from a perspective of somebody who's losing their vision later in life, as opposed to somebody who was born that way.
So if we were to like change the prompt a bit and say, what's the most difficult thing about people who have been blind since birth and have never had experience with vision, would that give us a different answer?
It would possibly, but again, it would still... Here's, again, the thing with AI that everyone has to be aware of is that because it's still so new, it's always going to give you the same kind of answer. It might phrase it differently, but it's going to end up essentially being the same thing. Because these questions are subjective, and AI doesn't know how to make up its own mind. So it's just going to give you the answer, every answer that it has access to, unless you ask it to specify.
I also find that AI tries to please you. So sometimes when you tell it it's the wrong answer, it'll change it. But sometimes, and I've tried this, once it had the right answer for a question that I gave it, and then I said this is the wrong answer, it actually changed it to make it wrong, while apologizing that the right answer was wrong, just because I told it it was wrong.
Hmm. Interesting.
If you were to get like what screen readers do blind people use, and if it were to give you like actually a right answer, but you just said for whatever reason, no, that is the wrong answer. This is the right answer. Also keep in mind that every response the AI gives is actually being stored and used to train the models. So that could also be part of it.
Right. Well, I'm kind of starting to think that I don't need to be worried because I don't think AI can take over educating about blindness. I have one final question. And since this is the Limitless podcast, and I do tend to have a pretty positive perspective of blindness, I'm curious how ChatGPT would respond to what are the advantages to being blind?
What are the advantages to being blind? Well, according to ChatGPT, while blindness presents various challenges, there are also unique advantages and strengths associated with the experience. Here are some potential advantages. Number one, heightened sensory awareness. Blind individual. I knew this will get a good response. Blind individuals often develop heightened senses of hearing, touch, smell, and taste to compensate for the loss of vision. This enhanced sensory awareness can enrich their experiences and provide them with unique perspectives on the world. Number two, creativity and adaptability. Blind individuals often demonstrate creativity and adaptability in navigating their surroundings and solving problems. They develop innovative strategies for daily tasks, such as using assistive technology or alternative techniques for reading and writing. Number three, empathy and understanding. Living with blindness fosters empathy and understanding towards others facing challenges or adversity. Blind individuals may develop strong interpersonal skills and a deep appreciation for diversity and inclusivity.
Oh boy.
Focus and determination. Blind individuals often demonstrate remarkable focus, determination, and resilience in pursuing their goals and overcoming obstacles. They learn to persevere in the face of adversity and cultivate a strong sense of self-reliance. Enhanced memory and spatial awareness. Blind individuals often rely on their memory and spatial awareness to navigate their environment effectively. They develop mental maps of spaces, remember routes and landmarks, and hone their spatial cognition skills. Valuing inner qualities. Blind individuals often place greater value on inner qualities, such as character, intelligence, and kindness, rather than superficial attributes, such as physical appearance. This perspective can foster deeper connections and more meaningful relationships. An appreciation for diversity. Blind individuals often have a strong appreciation for diversity and inclusion, recognizing the importance of accommodating different abilities and perspectives in society. They advocate for accessibility and equal opportunities for all individuals, regardless of disability. Resourcefulness. Blind individuals learn to be resourceful and independent in finding solutions to everyday challenges. They develop problem-solving skills, seek out support networks, and leverage available resources to accomplish their goals. Community and support. Blind individuals often find strength and support in communities of fellow blind individuals, where they can share experiences, exchange tips, and offer mutual encouragement. These communities provide a sense of belonging and solidarity. And finally, personal growth and resilience. Living with blindness fosters personal growth and resilience as individuals learn to adapt to adversity, overcome limitations, and embrace new opportunities for learning and development.
Huh, that's a little repetitive. It's kind of saying the same things a few times. I mean, I'm less offended by this response, I guess. I don't know how everyone else feels. I think there's a little...
I'm pretty offended by this one.
I'm pretty offended.
Are
like,
you?
If there's one response where I would give maybe like a C or maybe even a C minus two.
Interesting. Okay.
This one.
I mean, it's very inspiration kind of patronizing, you know, like there's definitely that element. I don't know.
That was part of it. Part of it was the comment about heightened senses, which I found funny because way to perpetuate the stereotype that we've been trying to knock down for the past 15 years, now 16. Yeah, and I know blind people, and of course I'm sure we all do, who are the very opposite of empathetic and self-reliant.
Yeah, so, right. It's not a given just because you're blind.
I'm not offended per se, but there's definitely a lot of inaccuracies that I would not want to spread around.
Yeah. What I find offending here, not necessarily offending, but kind of interesting to think about, is when you ask AI itself, ChatGPT itself, if blind people have heightened senses, it says, no, that they rely on their senses more.
Right.
But when you ask it about advantages, it just straight up says heightened. And it doesn't even say reliant. It mentions the word heightened in every sense of the word.
Mm-hmm.
So that's quite interesting. And also, comment about empathy. Yes, that could happen, but that just seems like a pretty lame comment, seeing the fact that there could totally be a flip side to it. Someone who's blind may have empathy because they're blind, and they might, you know, might be able to relate to more challenges, feel with others more. But someone who's blind could totally be on the other side of the spectrum and be completely apathetic, where they're like, I'm having to go through this. Like, it has a positive side in some of the questions, and it has some of the negative sides. But in some places, not only does it get repetitive, but it contradicts itself, like the heightened senses comment.
Do we think that AI can teach others about blindness? Given a lot of C's and C minuses today.
I would say no.
I don't see any way that it can.
Nice. I see what you did there.
No, I would say no as well. I think there's, you know, like with most things on the internet, there are surface level things that may be helpful insofar as they go, but I don't think AI is, at least right now in the state that it is, I don't think it's any replacement for being educated by real people with real experience who have actually real and lived knowledge.
Well said.
I would say that AI has the same ability to teach us about blindness as much as the internet does. So I would say yes to a degree, but a very limited degree.
So if you are the parent of a child who is blind, maybe Googling questions isn't the best way to get your information.
Yeah.
Touch with the professionals, basically.
Well, not necessarily professionals, but folks who are blind, right? I mean, every person is unique, obviously, and is going to have maybe a slightly different response too. But I don't know. It sounds like AI is feeding a pretty generic answer that covers all bases and sometimes makes mistakes. So I don't think I'd trust it. Well, thank you all for joining me on this journey down the artificial intelligence road to see if, I don't know, what kind of response. I don't know how to use it myself, so this has been interesting to me. I guess I'm not out of a job yet, so that's good. But thank you. Thanks for being here and sharing your opinion. Rob, thanks for being our reader today.
ChatGPT says, you are very welcome.
Nice. Awesome. All right. And thanks to all of you for listening. You've been listening to Limitless.
This podcast has been brought to you by Blind Beginnings, an organization based in Vancouver, Canada, that supports children and youth who are blind or partially sighted, along with their families. Music for this podcast is composed by Sean Bishop and Clement Chow. Production and audio editing by Rob Minot. For more information about Blind Beginnings and the work it does to support children and youth who are blind and partially sighted, along with their families, visit us on the web at www.blindbeginnings.ca, and also remember to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We thank you for joining us, and we look forward to seeing you next time.